Thank you for introduction. I am Hayate Yamasaki, working in the University of Tokyo as an assistant professor. Today I would like to share our recent developments on constant space overhead fault tolerance protocol using concatenated code. So the paper is, the talk is based on joint work with Masato Kobashi, Satoshi Yoshida, and Shiro Tamiya. So before going into detail, I would like to briefly overview what I'm doing from a broader perspective. So in a series of my recent works, I've been trying to connect recent advances of quantum technology in experiment and our future advance of our IT society based on these quantum technologies. To do that, I am trying to lay some theoretical foundation from several different aspects. One thing is I'm developing useful quantum algorithms, mainly for speeding up classical machine learning tasks, and also to implement these useful quantum algorithms in a feasible way. I've been developing fault-tolerant protocols that achieves low overhead to make this quantum algorithm possible in a scalable way. Also on a more physics side, I've been working on quantum resource theories and verification protocols to quantitatively analyze and verify the required quantum resources for these implementations. So this may seem different fields, but for me these are connected with each other. So in the development of quantum algorithms, I've been working on probable quantum advantage in solving machine learning tasks, and also developed several quantum machine learning algorithms that uses exponential speed up compared to the existing best classical algorithms for certain tasks, especially without sparse and low rank matrices in our algorithm. Today I'll be talking about more on like implementation side. In particular, I would like to discuss time-efficient constant space overhead fault-tolerant protocol in this talk. And apart from this FTQC protocol, I've been also working on a class of bosonic code called GKP codes. And also for the resource theory perspective, I've been working on practical testing algorithm, testing protocol for entangled states and other quantum resources. And also with Kodai here, we are developing general framework of quantum resource theories. So I've been here until tomorrow. So if you're interested in some of these topics, I'm very happy to have some discussion. So in this talk, I would like to talk about fault-tolerant quantum computation. The task of fault-tolerant quantum computation is as follows. So quantum computation is represented by some original circuit, but we cannot run this original circuit as it is in the quantum device because of noise. If you have noise, the output of the circuit will be randomized. So basically, we cannot get correct answer of the computational task. So to do this, we need to convert this into some circuit to be implemented, to be actually run on the noisy device that may have physical error rate at P0. The task here is that given some target error epsilon and this original circuit, we need to perform a circuit on a noisy circuit to simulate this original circuit and output the bit string from the probability distribution that is epsilon close to the output distribution of the original circuit. And this noisy circuit is called fault-tolerant circuit. So the only way that we know so far, that we know to achieve this is to use quantum error correcting codes to suppress logical error rate arbitrary. Okay, so threshold theorem shows that if the physical error rate is below a certain constant threshold, then we can arbitrarily suppress logical error rate. In particular, this original circuit may include, let's say this has W qubits, and the depth is d. Then the number of gates here is w times d at most. So to suppress the overall error below epsilon, it suffices to suppress logical error rate per each gate below epsilon divided by w times d, where w times d is the number of gates in the original circuit. This achieves the overall error rate below epsilon. So we need to suppress logical error rate per gate below this value. But to do this, we need to pay some overhead in space and time. So space overhead is defined as the required number of actual physical qubits per the qubit of the original circuit. So this is a qubit overhead. And also, to perform this Fortran circuit, we also need the extra time overhead, that is the extra depth compared to the depth of the original circuit. So as long as we use quantum record code, we need to pay this overhead. Indeed, so the main obstacle in realizing Fortran quantum computation is these overheads. So far, we have two conventional approaches for FDQC to achieve the desired error suppression. One is, but both approaches requires large, basically conventional approaches requires large overhead. One approach is based on so-called quantum low density parity check codes. One approach uses quantum low density parity check code, or LDPC codes for short. So quantum LDPC code is a class of codes where each stabilizer generator acts on at most a constant number of physical qubits, and each physical qubit is involved in at most a constant number of stabilizer generators. An example of LDPC code is a surface code. So surface code encodes single logical qubit into a bunch of physical qubits, and the error can be suppressed by increasing the distance of the code. But to increase the distance, we need a larger number of physical qubits per code block. So this requires extra space overhead. The other approach is based on concatenated code. So this is a different approach from LDPC code. So in the one example of concatenated code is to use 7-qubit code or string code, so-called string code. String code is encodes single qubit into 7-qubit, and distance is 3. So this can suppress error to some extent. And to further suppress the error, we recursively, this encoding suppresses some error to a certain extent. Then to suppress error more, we recursively encode each physical qubit as a logical qubit of another block of 7-qubit code. This recursive procedure is called code concatenation, and we can suppress error arbitrarily by increasing concatenation level. But this also this increase of concatenation level also requires large number of physical qubit per code block, and to suppress error. In any case, as long as we use these conventional approaches, we need polylogarithmically growing space and time overhead to perform FDQC. So polylog overhead may think that polylog overhead may be small compared to the polynomial size of circuit, but indeed the number of qubits in the actual existing device is a precious resource. So polylogarithmically growing overhead is still a main obstacle to realize Fortran quantum computation in practice. And also time overhead may grow, but in this talk we do not discuss this in detail. But space overhead is, in my opinion, is a major one of the major obstacles in the realizations. So here's a summary of our results. So our recent finding shows that the approach of concatenation of a certain family of codes called quantum Hamming codes achieves a constant space overhead FTQC. This improves conventional polylogarithmic space overhead to constant. And also our recent, so this has been done in the, our recent work, but the more recent work also shows that we construct an optimized protocol based on this original protocol that achieves a good performance in a practical regime. In particular, we have this plot. So in this plot, this horizontal axis shows the logical error rate. So as we try to suppress the logical error rate conventionally, we need a more and more space overhead. That is the number of physical qubit per logical qubit in each code block. So if we use, for example, surface code to suppress the logical error rate, surface code requires a growing space overhead. And at some point, like 10 to the power of 24, so this requires like thousands or more overhead. By contrast, here's our protocol. So our protocol achieves 90 to 97 saving of space overhead in this practical regime. The idea here is to use a small size code at the physical level to achieve high threshold at the physical level. And then if we suppress error using small code, we switch to use high rate code that has more logical qubit per code block to save qubit at higher level, but still can continue suppressing error. In particular, our particular protocol starts with a code called C4C6 code, as I will explain later, to achieve high threshold. Then, once we suppress error to some extent, we switch to a class of quantum Hamming codes that has many qubits per code block, and the rate is almost one as we increase the code blocks. By switching to quantum Hamming codes, we can asymptotically achieve a constant space overhead. So this difference can be arbitrarily large as we suppress the error rate, but this difference is also sufficiently large also in the practical regime, as our numerics shows. The merit of this construction is that we clarify the full protocol to implement not only memory but also the way to perform logical gates. And also our numerics shows that this protocol saves number of qubits compared to the existing protocol. And we also clarify how to achieve a sufficiently high threshold. That was 2.4% under circuit level conventional choice of circuit level noise, as I will explain in the following slides later. And also the approach of using code concatenation introduces modularity in architecture design. I will explain these aspects in the following slides. Our protocol has several merits that cannot be achieved by the approach of LTPC codes. The crucial technique that we developed for achieving constant space overhead is a way of concatenation of a class of codes called quantum Hamming codes. Quantum Hamming codes are a family of codes that generalizes conventional thin 7-qubit code. So thin 7-qubit code encodes single logical qubit into 7 qubits, and the distance is 3. And if we concatenate, the concatenations of 7-qubit code can suppress error. But as we increase the concatenation level, the number of physical qubits per logical qubit grows exponentially in this logarithmic plot. By contrast, content Hamming code is a class of code that has many logical qubits per code block. So it is a family of codes parameterized by this parameter R. And this is the sequence of content Hamming codes is like this. So it starts from conventional 7-qubit code. But as we increase the code size, it has almost as many logical qubits as physical qubits. But the large code size cannot be used at the physical level. So large code is demanding to prepare. So the idea is to start with small codes, such as 7-qubit code, at the physical level. And then we suppress error to some extent. Then we switch to use higher rate codes at higher concatenation level to still suppress error while keeping logical error, while not losing qubits. So this approach indeed works. So our numeric, so we analytically showed that this approach achieves asymptotically non-vanishing overall rate of logical qubit per physical qubit. And also our numerics, our numerical evaluation shows that if we concatenate codes in this sequence, then the overhead indeed remains constant with a reasonably small constant factors. So in this way, concatenation of quantum Hamming codes at growing rates achieves non-vanishing overall rate. So the rate remains constant, however many times we concatenate this in this family. We also provide a way to construct efficient decoder for this class of codes. So the construction of efficient decoder is in general challenging for the general class of codes. And for example, if we recall the developments of quantum LDPC codes, at some point in 2014, Gottesman has proposed to use finite rate quantum LDPC codes to achieve constant space over FTQC. But at that time, there was no code that has efficient decoder until later research clarified how to perform decoding for some particular class of codes called quantum expander codes. But by contrast, we here clarify how to perform efficient decoding for our class of codes due to the concatenation concatenation structure. This is this works in a similar way as conventional concatenated 7-qubit code. So 7-qubit code has distance 3, and from the stabilizer generators, by measuring syndromes of stabilizer generators, we can detect where the single error is. And the quantum Hamming code is a generalization of this and of seen 7-qubit code. It still has distance 3, so this means we can correct single error occurring on physical qubits. And the stabilizer generators of Hamming codes is designed in such a way that syndrome bit string represents binary representation of where the single error is occurring. So the syndrome bit string of quantum Hamming codes is exactly the binary representation of the location of the single error to be corrected in the decoder. And also in the case of in the case of concatenated code, extraction, syndrome in these stabilizer generators may have high weight. So the weight of stabilizer generators is not necessarily constant, since this is not LDPC code. But in the case of concatenated code, extraction of high weight syndrome can be feasibly performed by a method called Neel's error correction or Steen's error correction, as I will explain in the next slides. So this is basically, we can feasibly extract these syndromes for the case of concatenated code. So in more detail, so in the case of concatenated code, our proposal is to use Neel's error correction gadget. This works as follows. So in the case of, you may recall that in the case of surface code, a conventional way for syndrome extraction is to prepare physical auxiliary qubit, then interact it with a constant number of data qubits to extract each syndrome. But this only works for LDPC codes. And in the case of concatenate code, we do not use this type of syndrome extraction, but we use another way. So here's this one of these ways called Nils error correction. In the case of concatenate code, the crucial point is that in the case of concatenate code, we have a way for fault tolerant state preparation for the concatenate code. Then, basically, Nils error correction performs quantum teleportation of the logical information of given state to the freshly prepared code words of concatenate code. To perform, so in this circuit, we basically prepare Bell state here, logical Bell state here, and interact it with the data qubit and perform measurements to teleport this logical information to the freshly prepared auxiliary qubits. Then the extraction, so quantum teleportation requires measurement of the auxiliary qubits and the data qubits. But the extraction of, we can extract all the syndromes at once through this measurement for the quantum teleportation. So this quantum teleportation measures all the qubits in these two lines. And from the measurement outcomes, we can compute all the syndromes at once. And the error correction is performed by teleporting logical state from the original qubits to the freshly prepared auxiliary qubits. And
can you yes? give some intuition why the high weight syndromes do not cost you a big price in terms of the ancillary requirements or the threshold? You should prefer low weight measurements.
Low weight, but so in this case, the way of preparing state is completely different. So state preparation for concatenate code works completely different from the case from the.
That you mentioned in the last slide that your stabilizer weight.
Yes.
Is not low. It's not low.
Yes.
And so the weight of the stabilizer generators that you're measuring have high weight.
It's high, yeah.
And usually we think that is not a good idea because it introduces more errors in the measurement process and it requires a bigger ancillary and so on.
If you use syndrome extraction circuit for LDPC codes, yes. So this circuit is different from.
Right. So the question is that, say, for example, when we are looking at the Fouquet code, or we try to make the weight of the measurement of the code that we're measuring as low as possible.
Yes.
And here you do not seem to worry about that, and yet you achieve good overhead and also good threshold. Can you give an intuition why you can manage that?
Okay, yeah, the intention is that, so important difference is that we are now using concatenate code. So we can gradually start from physical qubit, we can prepare level one code words, and using it, you can prepare level two code words. So we can gradually prepare the code words with error suppression. So in the case of surface code, we cannot gradually prepare the code words. So we need to directly prepare physical auxiliary qubits and measure each syndrome at the physical level. So, but in the case of concatenated code, we can suppress error due to the concatenated structure.
Yeah, because the Hamming code can have fairly high weight.
Yeah.
Stabilized generators. That's the part that I feel a little puzzled about because you still have to concatenate with the Hamming code.
Yes.
And the Hamming code can have very large weight generators.
That's a large weight, yeah.
And it does not actually cost you
Yeah, it doesn't. So yeah. The high rate syndrome does not cause. Yeah, this syndrome extraction is still fault tolerant. So important point is that. So this is actual circuit. So this is what is happening at a logical level, but this is a actual circuit that implements this at a physical level. But the important property is that single error happening on this actual circuit does not propagate to high weight error. So that's an important property for the this code. So, and the point is that this state preparation can be fault tolerant. So any single error happening on state preparation does not cause high weight error. And with this circuit, any single error does not cause high weight error in the end. So the criteria, the condition, fault tolerance condition for the gadget is different in the case. In the case of concatenated code and LDBC code, the condition is different. Is there any other question?
Actually, maybe this is a related question, but I think the code probably is very fragile to the just a classical measurement errors intuitively. If some syndromes are wrong, like if just one stabilizer is measured to be minus one, for example.
Okay, if we have a code words, if we can prepare code words in a fault tolerant way, this can tolerate measurement error because we already have code words. Okay, so we only have this measurement outcome should be, so without any error, we only have a measurement outcome that matches with the actual code. So we only see some bit string that is a world of Hamming codes without any error. So if you have one error, we can detect such an error. So the important point is that this state is already prepared in a fault tolerant way. So without any error, we only see the bit string of Hamming codes. And even if you have single error here, this can be detected by the code. In the case of surface code, surface code that doesn't have this property because it doesn't have concatenated structure.
Q, does the size of the ancilla blocks increase with the size of the code? Because those are logical zeros, right? So
the size of
the auxiliary qubits,
yes,
grow with the size of the code because it's a logical qubit. It's not a physical ancilla, right?
It's not physical, so the actual size may grow, yeah.
Doesn't that make it not constant overhead? Like how do you, if this is growing, how do you keep it low?
The code size may grow, but the important point is that each code, so code size may grow, but each code block has many logical qubits. Mm-hmm. So in the end, the number of physical qubits per logical qubit remains constant.
Okay.
So with this decoder, we can construct a full fault tolerant protocol, including gates and error correction. So the way of constructing fault tolerant protocol is as follows. So we start from original circuit, and we recursively compile level, starting from the top level L, we recursively compile level L circuit into level L minus circuit that implements logical level L circuit. And we recursively perform this compilation until we obtain the level zero circuit that is a physical circuit. Our contribution here is to clarify explicit protocol, including decoder, gate implementation, and this compilation procedure to fully obtain the original, convert original circuit into physical Fortran circuit. And we also have made a thorough runtime analysis of this procedure. The protocol used basically recursively replace each operation in the level circuit by a gadget. A gadget is a level L minus one circuit to implement logical level L operation. And then we insert error correction gadget between each operations, between each gadget that we obtained from the operation. For the case of quantum Hamming codes, we have a highly limited class of transversal gates. So transversal gates, the only known transversal gates are logical Adamar that acts on all the logical qubit at once, and logical CNOT or CZ that acts on all the logical qubit at once, or Pauli gates that acts on each individual logical qubit by Pauli operator. So we cannot apply Clifford gates or Clifford gates on individual qubits in a transversal way. So almost all the other gates, including almost all Clifford gates and non-Clifford gates, are performed by gate teleportation. To do this, we clarify how to prepare Fortran preparation of auxiliary state that is required for
Fortran. So again, it's a naive question here.
Yes.
Since your hand code has
yes.
so many logical qubits
yes.
in the code block, how do you perform a CNOT between different logical qubits in the same code block?
In the same code block, so this cannot be implemented by transversal gates. So
how can it be transversal if you interact between different qubits inside the code block?
Inside the code block, all the gates are performed by gate teleportation. So maybe you should prepare. Okay, we prepare Bell states on the two code block. Perform Clifford unitary. From Clifford unitary. Okay, so this should be okay. In the same code block, in the single code block, basically you prepare Bell states and apply. We need to prepare logical Bell states with desired Clifford logical Clifford applied to one of the system. So we need to prepare this state. So the preparation of this state cannot be performed in a transversal way. So after state preparation, we need to perform verification repeatedly to make sure that the state preparation is Fortran. Then we perform get teleportation. So even within that single code block, almost all Clifford gates should be performed by get teleportation. Yeah, what we have shown is that this state preparation is time efficient. Basically. So this is how we, to be more precise, this is a list of transversal operations that our protocol can support. So the measurement in databases or all the logical qubits can be performed by just performing measurement of all the physical qubits. Pauli gates can be performed by logical Pauli, but CNOT, CZ, and Adamar can only be performed for all the logical qubits at once. So we cannot manipulate individual qubits in a transversal way. But due to the concatenation structure, we can prepare logical zero and also requires auxiliary state. Auxiliary states required for gate teleportation in a Fortran way. So to do this, we using a concatenation structure, we gradually prepare the code set. So at the, from the physical level, using a physical operation, we can prepare level L auxiliary states. And after, so the preparation of auxiliary states may not be fraudulent as it is, but we can repeatedly perform verification to make sure that single fault occurring in the preparation should not propagate to high weight error. So using this kind of verification, we can fraudulently prepare required auxiliary states for gate deposition. So in this way, we explicitly construct a full set of gadgets for all operations that are required for our FTQC protocol. So the gate deposition is performed. So the transversal gates are highly limited in a protocol, and almost all the gates are performed by gate deposition. So if you have for that two code block, Clifford gates on that two code block is performed by gate deposition. So we prepare Bell states with desired Clifford applied to one of the pair. And then using fraudulently prepared this auxiliary state, we basically perform gate deposition. And then correction in the gate deposition, in the case of Clifford gates, is part operation, so we can transversally perform this correction. And also for the non-Clifford gates, we basically also perform gate deposition, and the correction may require Clifford gates in this case. So Clifford gates can be applied by using this gadget. So we can, as a whole, perform universal gate sets implemented by gate deposition, owing to our fraudulent set preparation protocol.
Does this procedure not require the use of any magic states for the non-Clifford gates?
So indeed, this is a magic state for Y rotation.
Okay.
Yes. Yeah. So our protocol basically performs, so preparation, so this is called Adamara against it. So we perform control Adamara for the verification.
Does the resources for the like magic states and like the magic state factories scale with like constant with the way that you're saying that you can scale the rest of the protocol for like error suppression?
So preparation of magic state can be performed within constant state overhead, and error can be suppressed. Yeah. So we have the proof of this. Okay. So at the non-trivial point of our protocol is that our protocol uses a concatenation of codes that has growing size. So the conventional protocol using concatenated code just concatenate the same code. But now we have a concatenation of codes with growing size, so the existence of threshold is no longer trivial. But nevertheless, we show that our protocol probably has a threshold under a conventional error model called local stochastic error model. Okay, so in the local stochastic error model, it may happen that S different locations in a circuit of physical qubit may become faulty with probability P to the power of S, where P is a physical error rate. And at the faulty locations, any error that is described by general CBTP map may happen. But for the proof of threshold, it's important that the error should be suppressed. So S simultaneous fault, the probability of having S simultaneous fault should be upper bounded by P to the power of S. So this should, the probability should decay exponentially due to the assumption of locality. So under this error model, we consider that level element circuit to implement logical level circuit should be encoded using some quantum Hamming course with growing size. That in particular, the cost parameter should be chosen linearly. Then what we can show is that what we can show by induction is that if level L minus one circuit undergoes local stochastic error model, then logical level circuit also undergoes a local stochastic error model. So we always have local stochastic error model at all the levels. And the logical error rate of level L circuit is upper bounded by this formula. So by basically the size of extended rectangle, the logical error is upper bounded by maximum probability of having two errors in each extended rectangle. So extended rectangle in the level element circuit is a part of circuit that corresponds to each gadget and the error correcting gadget that surrounds each gadget, that surrounds the gadgets. And conventionally, if we recall the protocol using concatenated 7-qubit code, then the size of X rec is just constant throughout all levels. But the difference here is that the size of X rec grows in a protocol, grows polynomially in terms of code size of a protocol. So as we increase the level of concatenation, this prefactor may have a L dependent factors. But still, what we can show is that logical error rate, the overall logical error rate can be bounded in the same way as conventional concatenated code, because this L dependency appears as a geometric series of the geometric sequence. L dependency appears as a coefficient of a geometric sequence that appears in the exponent of the bound. But in the end, this geometric sequence converges to some constant that provides a threshold. And this L dependency is just absorbed by the constant in the end. So in short, we have the same scaling as a conventional concatenated 7-qubit code that concatenates distance 3 codes. So far we have covered logical gates, low space overhead, and also our analysis shows that this protocol indeed achieves quasi polarizing time overhead. So the time overhead should also be short according to our analysis. But what was lacking in this in our previous work is that this protocol may not, we only show the existence of the threshold, but the actual threshold was not evaluated in our previous work. So in our newest work here, we also evaluate the threshold and clarified and constructed more optimized protocol to take care of all the essential requirements for the practical implementation. So compared to the existing protocol, so conventional protocols based on surface code and concatenated 7-qubit code, in principle requires large space overhead that grows polylogarithmically to suppress error. And the more recent proposal of using finite rate quantum DBC codes may achieve constant space overhead, but this indeed sacrifices time overhead and threshold is unclear, and LDPC code approach may not be good for modularity. So as I will discuss later. So compared to these existing protocols, our protocol take care of these factors. So it will be a promising option for the practical implementation, in our opinion. In particular, we recently numerically evaluated the performance of our protocol, and then based on this numerics, we optimized the protocol. So this is a plot that I showed in the previous slides, but our numerics shows that the threshold of the original protocol that we constructed based on the concatenated quantum Hamming codes has a threshold of like 10 to the power minus 5, which is comparable to the conventional 7-qubit code. But the proposal here is that we use we start with so-called C4C6 code developed proposed originally by Neil in his paper in 2005, and our numerics shows that logical error rate of the protocol of C4C6 code can be suppressed, below the threshold of original protocol by only using a few hundreds of physical qubits according to our numerics. And also this C4C6 protocol has a much higher threshold than this original protocol. So the proposal here is that we use C4C6 protocol at the physical level to sufficiently suppress the error below the threshold of our original protocol. And once the logical error rate is sufficiently suppressed, we switch to the quantum Hamming codes to asymptotically achieve the constant space overhead. That's the idea. So this achieves at the same time high threshold and much better space overhead compared to the conventional protocol. So I will briefly introduce what was C4C6 code. So C4C6 code was developed by Kunil in 2005. So this our numerics shows that this protocol has a high threshold of 2.4%. And in the same setting, we also evaluated the threshold of surface code for performing CNOT gates. So in our particular setting, the threshold of surface code was about 0.3%. So it's significantly better. So C4C6 in this setting was significantly better. So how this works is as follows. So at the physical level, we start with very small code that is 422 codes. So it has four physical qubits. So four physical qubits, two encodes, two logical qubits. The distance is 2. So since the distance is smaller than, so distance is only 2, this cannot correct error. So this can only detect error. But once the error is detected, so the idea here is that so at the detected error should be corrected at a higher level of So in the second level, using three code blocks of 422 code, the protocol forms 622 codes. This is a code that has distance two for each qubit pair, each of the three qubit pairs. And if some error is detected, this is converted into erasure error at a higher level, and the distance two code can correct single erasure error. And we recursively, so the rest of the protocol recursively use this 622 code to correct single erasure error throughout the concatenation. Another merit of this protocol is that the state preparation can be performed within the 1D periodic arrangement of qubits and code blocks. So the details of the protocol is found in the previous paper. So if you're interested, you should look at this paper. So including this protocol, in our recent paper, we performed a systematic numerics to compare the performance of the existing codes and protocols. Our numerics is performed under circuit-level depolarizing noise, that is conventionally used in the numerics. And we evaluate the threshold for performing CNOT gates, for performing logical CNOT gates. Conventionally, threshold of surface code is evaluated for quantum memory, that is identity gate. But the threshold of CNOT gates is slightly worse than identity gates indeed. So we, for the fair comparison, we did a numerics for the CNOT gates. And also for the decoder, for the concatenated code, we use hard decision decoder, and for the surface code, we use conventional MWPM decoder for the, that are widely used for that. That are basically that can be feasibly used for the actual FTQC. And the important point is that we did all these simulations in the same setting for all the codes. So our codes includes several what we think is interesting comparisons. For example, there are several different ways for preparing code words of string codes. One uses a very small number of auxiliary qubit. The other has shorter depth. It turns out that these two has almost the same performance in terms of threshold, but which is actually better really depends on the detail of the setting. So our paper discussed this in the appendix. And also, our paper provides numerics for the CNOT gates that are implemented by the surgery, but also with some routing space. So we have existing numerics do not consider this routing space. So existing numerics has, because if we don't consider this routing space, we have existing work has slightly better threshold, but we also take into account this routing space to that are indeed required in practice. From this comparison, so we have a list of thresholds and also list of space overheads. And so that's a basically reason why we chose simple C6 code as a good candidate for the codes to be used at the physical level in a protocol. Another merit of our protocol is a modularity. So our analysis showed that we can probably suppress error by using concatenated quantum Hamming codes. So in a protocol, the size of X-rec may grow polynomially in the code size, but the important point is that the logical rate is suppressed much faster than the speed of growth of the X-rec. That's why we have error. So the size of X-rec may grow polynomially in the code size, so this polynomial appears in the exponent. But the actual error suppression that we have shown is doubly exponential, so that is much faster. So due to this doubly exponential error suppression, as we increase the concatenation level, we have much more flexibility in architecture design. So since we have very low error rate at the large concatenation level. Indeed, one existing challenge of implementing surface code, for example, is full control of large LDPC code chip that has many physical qubit on that single chip. So this is like one example of design of the surface code chip, but we need to really make all the physical qubit on this chip working within the threshold, basically. But to really realize FTQC, we really need millions or billions of qubits for the practical purpose. And it is currently unknown how to implement, how to arrange all these millions of qubits in a single chip in a scalable way. By contrast, code concatenation approach provides some abstraction layer due to the layers of concatenation codes. So using a fixed code to be concatenated, we can develop a module that achieves a lower error rate due to the use of codes, and we can combine them by using concatenated code for further scaling up. In this approach, we have a new way to achieve low overhead FTQC by concatenating small size modular parts that implement each code to be concatenated. So this is a work in progress, but we are developing this idea. We are now developing this idea in more concrete terms. So we consider new design protocol, new design principle for the Fortran computers based on finite technological requirement for developing each module. Each module should have a threshold behavior, and the module should be combined in a flexible way using modularity. And so the idea here is that we have a single module that implements some codes in the concatenated code. Then we can combine multiple modules using some interfaces to form another code in the concatenation to further scale up. So in conclusion, we developed a new approach based on concatenation of quantum Hamming codes to achieve constant space overhead. And the numeric shows that our protocol has a good performance in practical regimes. The important point is that all this development is not based on the existing protocol, but we developed a new approach based on code concatenation to make this improvement possible. So our protocol now has full protocol supporting gates. We can save qubits, and the protocol has high threshold. So we think this is one of the promising options for the future Fortran quantum computers. Thank you for your attention.
The questions for Hannah.
Sorry, what do the checks look like? Like, are they long range or are they pretty local? Like your stabilizer checks?
Stabilizer checks are not local at all. So we really need to perform transversal gates for quantum teleportation. And from the measurement outcomes, we need to really take parity for each stabilizer generators. But important point is that through quantum teleportation, we can, from the measurement outcome, we can obtain syndromes at once. So this is a particular property of concatenated code.
Have you performed any like resource calculations on like actual algorithms? For example, like certain other people who tried to design like the architecture for like some fault-tolerant system may perform a calculation on how many resources needed to perform shores or like to do. So obviously you have this constant overhead, but there's presumably some constants in there. I'm curious if you've investigated what the actual numbers involved would be in terms of runtime, space, etc.
No, we haven't done this computation. So for the, I think we, okay. This only evaluates the error rate for CNOT gates. So to do this, we also need to compute error rate for all the gates. Then we it may be possible to study, yeah, this, but it's it must be a lot of work, right? So at least in this way we can compare the different protocols, but such estimation will be require much more efforts.
I have a question about the types of codes that you have. So you said you can concatenate codes starting with the lower, like six distance Hamming code, and then it gets higher and higher level. And so there's some sequence, and you showed like the first four were the six distance Hamming code, and then it goes to like some other number and higher and higher.
Yes.
So is there some reason when you pick when to change the code? Like, is there some sequence, specific mathematical sequence that you pick? Or can you optimize over them? Or does it depend on the noise?
So basically, we try to optimize the choice of codes as much as possible. So the full optimization is indeed, full optimization reduces to basically hard combinatorial optimization. So this is not infeasible, but our approach here is to, numerically perform the numerically evaluate the performance of each code, then we numerically perform the performance of each code, each of these codes, and then try to combine in a in a best way. But
does that depend on the type of noise? Or is it supposed to be universal?
We assume particular noise. So we indeed assume depolarizing noise. So this numerics only works for this class.
So if there is some, if we make a different hardware where there is some other noise that is dominant, then I guess the same technique could be used, but the optimization might lead to different results.
Yes. Using that under different noise model, the result of optimization will be different.
Yeah. But would you expect it to also work, like with this technique of higher concatenation?
High concatenation, indeed, in principle works. But the details of the performance will be different.
Okay. Thanks.
Yes. So the whole point is that we have a provable existence of threshold under general error model. So existence of threshold is this is provable.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
Very nice.
Yeah, I still have some difficulties why this code has a threshold. So like, can I understand like if we concatenate any codes, then the code should have threshold, or there is some key properties that determine codes?
The key property is that the growth of the code size is slower than the error suppression. So error suppression is double exponential. So for example, if we take two large codes at the next level, then we cannot suppress error anymore. But now that the key property is that the code size may slightly grow, but the should only grow polynomially. So this should be much slower than the error suppression. Error suppression is the double exponential. So this mathematical expression may not be readable, but okay. So maybe later slides is better. Later slides should be better. So if the code size grows, this appears in a prefactor as a polynomial in the exponent, but actual suppression, what we can show, it's doubly exponential. So it's a doubly exponential suppression versus some exponential growth. So in total, we can suppress error. So intuitively, what they are showing is this.
Yeah, in fact, back to the question I originally asked. But you did answer in the end that your concatenated Hamming code has worse threshold probability than concatenated Steen code.
Yes. Yeah.
But instead, the lowest level is actually C4 C6, which basically push your threshold much higher.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yes.
Exactly.
That's
the reason. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, yeah, if you just use original protocol as it is, it's just worse, slightly worse than since 7 qubit code.
Have you considered using flag qubit gadgets for any of the parts?
Indeed, flag technique is used.
Yeah.
Flag technique is used for the verification. If you open the protocol, we use flag technique. But we indeed use it.
Is thank our speaker yet?